Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back, sports fans, to the Charity Stripe podcast brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network for pros, for professionals. And you can find it anywhere. You can find it on the road, in the air, or in the water. We've got a great show for you guys today. Sode 272, we are going to preview the NFC. So it's me and Josh Fisher. We are sans Nikki Snacks Kreider. Buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in that? Oh, yes!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws because they free. Sode 272. I am joined, not flanked, but joined by Joshua, the Josh Man Fisher. Josh, Josh is in ATX right now, Austin, Texas. Josh, how you doing? Happy Labor Day.
I'm feeling just like shit because I don't have a nickname. I never had a nickname. Isn't that sad? Like, you've had Toss, and I know it's an abbreviation.
Yeah, but I feel like people call you Fish.
They do call me that, but I don't know. It's not like, and you know what, like, the Nikki Snacks, like, Nick has a cool, like, Snacks is a cool nickname, and Nick, I think Nick, at the minimum, tolerates it.
Yeah, I don't.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't think he's,
like, overjoyed by it.
He's a fan.
I think he's a fan, sure. But if I had a nickname, I'd be overjoyed. And maybe is it because I want it too bad? Can people smell the desperation on me? Like, when I meet them, I think the first thing I want from them is to give me a nickname, even more so than their friendship.
You walk up to them and they're just like, oh my gosh, this guy's just itching for a nickname. He wants me to give him a nickname. And you know what? I'm not gonna give it to him. So
like, it's like, I want to call this guy the jugular, but he really wants me to call him jugular.
The jugular?
Yeah.
Is that what your WWE name would be?
My finisher is the jugular. I jump off the top rope and, like, spinning elbow in the freaking neck and take him out. I have a question for you. Can you bet on the WWE on Bet Online? Or is it because it's scripted?
I don't know. I don't know if
it
you can
work like that.
If you can bet on a WWE superstar on Bet Online, whether they be a heel or what's the other term? I don't know.
Face.
A face.
Heel or a face.
A heel or a face of the franchise. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I don't know, but what you can do is you can go to Bet Online and bet on the NBA playoffs, the NFL, which is coming back this week. The first game is on Thursday. That's in 2 days from now. We've got great weekend games as well. Stuff on Sunday, stuff on Saturday, because college football is also back. Part of college football is back. But, you know, yeah, there's a lot of good bets you can put down. A lot of awesome player props, coaches props. You can bet on whether or not any of the coaches in the NFL get fired this year. Yeah, which is
wow,
very enticing to me.
That's so depressing.
Look, it is what it is. I mean, you can bet on anything, basically. And they have the 24/7 online casino as well. So go to betonline.ag, sign up today, and you'll get a free welcome bonus. Again, that's betonline.ag. And they are one of the sponsors of the show. We are We are glad that they're one of the sponsors of the show. If you are betting, please bet responsibly. Don't lose your mortgage payment. That is no bueno. Don't do that.
Yeah, we don't want that on our conscience.
No. But if you've got
if you have a mortgage, don't bet like ridiculously. If you have if you're like us with little responsibility, yeah, you can get fancy with it. But if you have I feel like if people have real things going on, you got to be responsible.
Yeah, you got to be. Not to say that you can't bet, just be responsible when you do bet. So Josh, what do we got today? We got the NFC preview. We're just going to kind of go division by division, break things down, give some projections on records, and kind of line up what we think some of the teams are bringing to the table, what kind of competition we are in store for. The Thursday night game is an AFC matchup, so we won't be seeing any of the NFC games NFC teams, excuse me. But that's we got Mahomes versus Watson on Thursday night. That'll be a great shakedown. Anything before we hop into the NFC, Josh? We need to cover any NBA stuff. Can we talk about Novak Djokovic real quick? Can we talk about that real briefly?
What the hell was? What a sell job by that line judge. What's with everybody? I'm serious. What's with everybody milking it nowadays? Every NBA player, I saw Daniel Theis get grazed in the face by Siakam's foot tonight, and he acted like someone just shot him in the back of the head. Djokovic obviously didn't mean to do that, you know?
I mean, it's a sport where etiquette is integral, right? In the sport, and has been for a long time. So I think they gave him the judgment and he took it, right? And he walked off the court. But I think you need him in that tournament, right? He's the number one player in the world.
You can't get your best player out of the tournament. Who really is watching tennis without him in there? I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be a tennis junkie.
No, right? There's a lot of people
Are Federer and Nadal not playing? Am I correct in saying
they are? I don't know if they're still competing in the tournament. Yeah, I don't know if they're still in. Okay, can you say about the guy across from him? I mean, that is just the luckiest break of all time.
Yeah, you're going into that thing thinking you're going to get smacked. I mean, back to the woman. Look, don't get me wrong. I hope she's okay. But let's call a spade a spade. We knew that. It looked it wasn't going 100 miles per hour. It was going 20 miles per hour. How many tennis balls to the face? I wrestled the guy over Labor Day weekend. I got serious rug burn. I'm not crying about it, you know? And it's to me, that was just an ultimate sell job. And she milked it for some extra bucks and for the attention on TV.
Extra bucks? Did she get paid extra because of that?
Who knows? They may do a side deal. She may go for the lawsuit. She's resting. It was she reported at the hospital she's okay. Obviously she's fucking okay.
That was a lot stronger of a take than I thought you were gonna give on it.
I don't know. I'm surrounded. The people I was surrounded by this weekend are very opinionated. Maybe it's rubbed off on me.
She's resting comfortably in the hotel today and is under the observation of the tournament doctor and will return to work when she and the doctor feel it is appropriate. So, he's forfeiting his entire prize money and he's been fined an additional $10,000, approximately 7,000 pounds, in case you were curious.
Oh my God! What the heck?
Well, that was because he didn't attend a press conference after the fact, but he did. He crafted an apology on Instagram, shared his condolences with her and her family.
I'm sick of it, man.
It's pretty interesting. I mean, look, I think it's a little bit ridiculous. Look, this is a crazy circumstance, but I think it's a little bit ridiculous. And I said this when I was watching some of the NBA games, the NBA playoff games. For these players to be held to this standard of bottling their emotions when they play, I understand, you don't want to go overboard, right? Or over the top.
Why did they go to a press conference every time? Why does he, you know what? It was probably better that he didn't go to the press conference because he would have said something. He could have gotten in more trouble with something he said, right? What if he came out and really shared how he actually felt about it?
Right.
I mean, what if he came out and was like, hey, this is the dumbest thing of all time. And we live in a world that's softer than pudding, right? that this woman's taken a 15 mile per hour soft fuzzy tennis ball off the end of my racket to the quote unquote neck
to the jugular.
Exactly. And now we're like, she may not come back to work tomorrow.
Well, Laura Clark, that's her name. She, you know, like I read earlier, is showing signs of improvement. So that's great.
Good.
Anything,
I actually, to be honest, I was worried.
Anything, in the NBA worth touching upon before we head over to the NFC? I know your Celtics take a nice 3-2 lead against the Raptors. That's been a great series. Just all in all, the Celtics, I mean, for all intents and purposes, they dominated today.
Today was good. Today was good. Bad. They listen defensively. They're in it. They're always. I hate like the small ball lineup Brad likes to run with like Williams with Brown, Smart, Walker, Tatum, and Williams. In my opinion, we need to have and Grant Williams. I'm saying we need to have one of Robert Williams, Daniel Tice, who's been excellent, by the way. Love to give him some serious praise.
Yeah.
Daniel Tice is evolving as a shot blocker right before our eyes. Enes Kanter is now. Do you see Enes Kanter on the court today? See how tan he looked? He's literally down there to hang out. He looked great.
I mean, he's popping in for 5 to 10 minutes every game. He looks good when he comes in. I mean, you can't keep him on the floor for a long time because he can't guard anyone. But I think that
we ran our starters 30s today, and I didn't like. And Wong, 28. We're not deep.
Look, I'm going to be honest. They obviously, you know, the Celtics were up 20 going into the fourth quarter. More than 20, and they kept their starters in until about 2-3 minutes left in the game. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I think this is a Raptors team that in the last game we saw they shot really well. And when they shoot really well, they're very dangerous. Same thing with the Celtics. Honestly, this series has been determined so far each game by the team that is shooting better from the three-point line. You hate to like simplify things in that regard, but both teams are really good defensively. I just have really enjoyed the series because it's a little bit less like some of the other teams, like the Lakers and the Rockets, where it's just like kind of just like shut up and watch the main ball handler just kind of like go one-on-one and see what happens. I mean, both teams, both teams work really well off the ball. There's constant cutting, constant dribble handoffs. I'm excited to see this game six. Do you think they'll take you guys to seven, or do you think you guys can shut the door on them?
I really would like to shut I mean, this should be over already.
Yeah.
This should be over already. The series should have been over when Kemba hit the pass of the year. OG Anunoby hits the shot in the coldest walkaway. Listen, this, being a Celtics fan aside, that walkaway he hit on us was absolutely majestic.
Yeah, I mean, rivals. I don't know if, like, D-Fish is still number one as far as, you know, less than 1 second left on the clock, but this, to me, is number two.
D-Fish, this was awesome. He, no time left. He walked away.
I mean, D-Fish was with less time left. I just want to clarify.
Sure, but D-Fish,
and he was not facing the basket. It was a turnaround jumper. It was absolutely a ridiculous shot.
OG, after the game, said, "I don't shoot to miss." And that, to me,
well, his name's OG.
I know. What the? You see what I'm saying? Like, how obviously he's feeling baller and rolling out. Like, he obviously is playing basketball with a sick name like that.
Yeah.
Imagine if my name was OG Fisher. Could you imagine the things I would have accomplished?
Are you asking me to give you the nickname Josh OG Fisher? Because
no,
I'm not.
I don't want to put it upon somebody.
No.
But the Raptors have impressed me.
They have.
I mean, it's a championship team. It's a championship caliber team. These guys have all been there before.
And the big question mark that's
lay down and lie.
The big question mark for this team and what they lost was Kawhi Leonard. And during the regular season, Pascal Siakam, as far as statistically what he was putting up during the regular season was replacing almost stat for stat what Kawhi had given them. But people forget that Kawhi he's probably the best playoff basketball player in the NBA currently, from a statistical standpoint. LeBron is a close second, but you know LeBron's been there he's done it for a longer amount of time, so there's more amount of time for him to have negative stats go against him as well. But I think that Pascal Siakam just has not been what they need him to be. And he's looked like the fourth best player on the court for both teams every single time he's on the court. I think every time I look on the court, except that last game, Jaylen Brown looks better than him. Jason Tatum looks better than him. Kemba, maybe not Jaylen Brown this series because he's been less as impressive as he has been to me.
He was great tonight.
In the bubble. He was great tonight. But Kemba has been on a different in a different world from where he was at the beginning of the bubble.
Yeah.
Kemba's been fantastic. Tatum's been fantastic. And honestly, Van Vliet and
bad game.
Van Vliet and Kyle Lowry have both, all four of those players have looked better than Pascal Siakam. So he'd be the fifth best player on the court, and you paid him to be your first best player. So I don't know. They need more from him. They need more from him to turn this into a series that goes to seven. And if he doesn't bring it, and Lowry and Van Vliet don't both put up like 25, then it's tough. I think you guys will be on to the next round.
Yeah, I mean, Siakam is, we got into foul trouble early.
Yeah,
five fouls, which is worrisome. You know, a big thing that's been happening for the Raptors is they were out rebounding us. They out rebounded the hell out of us last game, and this game they didn't. Tatum rebounded very well this game. Having Tyson there again is so huge. Smart, he checks himself like no other. But all that being said, you know, he's been better offensively.
Yeah.
And
he's been aggressive.
Him and Kemba have been moving the ball. If we had Hayward, this would be a no-brainer for me. And my biggest worry, honestly, I should be focused on game six, but I have a good feeling we take game six. My biggest worry is that we have to face the Heat, who got unlucky last time against Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee has blown it, and they're going to lose in the next game and tonight. And I'm worried that we don't have enough depth, and we are too streaky on offense comparatively to the Miami Heat. I think this Heat team is going to the finals. I really do.
They're really
and
good.
I think it's going to be Heat Clippers. Is what I'm getting the gate.
Yeah, that's what my gut tells me too.
The Lakers, like the Nuggets, are fun, but they're not. They're not going to put away the Clippers. They're already down 2-1. They're not going to get it done.
Right.
The Lakers won the other night.
The Lakers are just too they're too limited. I mean, they don't have anyone besides LeBron and Anthony Davis. But shame on anyone who doesn't think that LeBron James is the best player on the planet right now. He's unbelievable.
He's outstanding. But at the same time, dude, they were up like they won by 8 at one point. They were up by, what were they up by? They were up by like 16 going into the half. And then they are losing going into the fourth, which is ridiculous.
But I don't think that's not that rare against a team like the Rockets, who just put up, they're just volume shooters. So they're just chucking threes. I just don't know if the Lakers will get enough from their supplementary pieces game in, game out. Kyle Kuzma was 6-for-7. Yeah, I mean, they both shot over 60%. Are they going to do that every single game? No, they're not. I don't know. I just have some concerns with the other guys on their roster. But, yeah, NBA playoffs have been really exciting. Each series outside the Heat-Bucks series has been great, and I've enjoyed watching all of them. But I'm going to enjoy watching NFL football maybe even more. So let's get into it. Let's start.
Really?
Potentially. I'm really excited. I'm giddy because I've got my fantasy rosters lined up, and I am ready for the season to kick off. So let's go
that
to
team
the
you drafted today is stupid. I can't believe you pulled that off in a 14 team league.
Yeah, it's a good looking team, but I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch. They need to execute on the field, and let's go with the NFC East, Josh. Let's start there. What do we think about the division? How's it going to shake down? Who's going to be at the top? Who's going to be at the bottom?
All right, you can tell me if you disagree. I'm going to go Cowboys 1, Eagles 2, Giants, and Redskins. I think there's a big drop-off between Cowboys and Eagles, and I think there's a drop-off between the Eagles and Giants/Redskins. I think the drop-off between the Cowboys to Eagles is bigger than the drop-off from the Eagles to the Giants.
Okay.
I think this.
So is it a four? Is it a four-tier division, or is it a three-tier division?
It's going to be honestly, I think it's a four-tier division. I think Cowboys standalone, Eagles standalone. I think there's a few divisions like that in the NFL. This could be the weakest division in the NFL. It really could be. This or the AFC South.
Yeah, I think it doesn't help that the Eagles are so ailed with injury right now.
Banged up.
Yeah.
It's like they've revamped this receiving is what the offseason, right? They revamped this receiving group. They drafted Jalen Reagor. He's already hurt. They're bringing back Alshon Jeffrey. He's already got a question that quite a queue next to him for questionable. Marquise Goodwin, who they brought in, opted out. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, they spent a second-round pick on last year. He had a very rough rookie year. DeSean Jackson, is he the DeSean Jackson of old? It's tough to say because he missed the entire year last year. They have Jason Peters, who only agreed to come back as a guard, now slotted at left tackle, right? Is the defense, how are they going to be? They're always spotty. They bring on Darius Slay, is a very good player, but is that enough? I don't know. I think the defensive line is quite strong with Barnett. I thought the Hargrave signing, bringing him over from Pittsburgh, was excellent. You have Malik Jackson backing him up. Fletcher Cox is an unbelievable – he might be the most underrated defensive player in the league. And Brandon Graham could still cause some trouble. So their defensive line is good. But a lot of people have good defensive line. Defensive line depth is a thing in the NFL, like we discussed with the Bills last week. And I'm looking at this defense, and they had to play the Cowboys twice. And do they have the firepower on offense? And are they tough enough on defense to stop the Cowboys offense and keep up with them? And I absolutely do not think so.
No.
I think the Cowboys, by the end of the season, could have the best receiving group. I think pound for pound running back, if you take away the receiving aspect of the running back position, I think Zeke is the best still. I think their offensive line hasn't changed too much, right? They're bringing back almost everyone from that offensive line. Dak's playing for money. Dak is playing to prove that he is more than just a stat stuffer. That offense still last year put up a ridiculous amount of points.
Right.
And
with first-year offensive coordinator Kellen Moore now coming into his second year.
Second year. I think McCarthy is a better, more proven head coach than Jason Garrett. Obviously, he's won. I think having DeMarcus Lawrence on the defensive line, you bring in Everson Griffin, the two of them together, Alden Smith's there, Randy Gregory, which I don't know, I can't imagine having both those guys in the locker room together, but they're going to go for it. I thought the Gallimore pick was a great pick. Poe is interesting there. Tristan Hill was a second-round pick. Van Der Esch, he was not as good as he was as a rookie last year, but I still think he's a very strong middle linebacker. Unfortunately, Sean Lee's in the IR for the upkeep time. And the defensive backfield is good. Not great, but good. But better, yeah. I think, honestly.
But this is a team that can get into shootouts and win. Or, they're comfortable. I don't know. I don't think there's going to be as much pressure on the defensive backfield because I think they get to the quarterback really, really well. And I think because of that, the defensive backfield's probably going to overperform a little bit just because there's going to be some mayhem there and some deflected passes, some quarterbacks that are hit while they're thrown, stuff like that. And then the linebacking core is very, very solid, as you mentioned. And I think this is just a team that's they're very refined. They're very polished. Yes, they have a new head coach, but outside of that, there's a lot of consistency on the roster that was there last year, and that has to bode well coming into a year with limited off season, limited training camp, and no preseason.
Look at the offensive line. Connor Williams was there last year. Tyron Smith is, when healthy, a premier left tackle. Cam Irvin, super solid. Zach Martin, maybe a top three offensive lineman in the league, if not the best, right? All these guys have been there before. Gallup blew up last year.
Yeah.
Cooper's a proven number. I mean, this Cowboys team is a playoff team.
Right.
The Eagles are not healthy even. I don't know if they are. Wentz, their main man, has not played a full season. Problem. Daniel, and if you go to the Giants are still in rebuild mode. They have their receiving group is also weak. Right. And it doesn't aid the young quarterback, Daniel Jones, who I'm hoping takes a lot. I have faith that Daniel Jones takes a big stride into a second year, not a massive stride where we're talking about him being, you know, a top 10 premier quarterback. But I'm hoping, and from what we've seen, the glimpses last year, that he proves that he can be the guy at the helm.
I think the good thing about their wide receiving or just the weapons that Daniel Jones has is that they're all healthy right now, which is a big plus. Yeah. I like Slayton. You know, I Sterling Shepard is a good two. You know, he's still their one there. Evan Ingram is more healthy than he has been in years past. So I think that bodes well for Daniel Jones. I mean, but again, like, what can their defense do on the opposite side of the field? Not much.
I think the defensive line
Better. It's gotten better.
I think the defensive line has promise. I mean, they're going to stuff the shit out of the run. The defensive backfield, I don't know how good the signings of Bradberry and Logan Ryan are really going to be. It's Jabril Peppers. He might just be a really fun, good college player. Xavier McKinney, who I love that pick, he's in the IR to start the year. Their linebacking core is not great. So the defense has problems. Their receivers are a bunch of number twos and threes. No clear-cut number one. They have to go get that in the draft. I think Andrew Thomas is a great pick at left tackle, but the right side of the offensive line, especially with Solder out this year, is leaving a lot to be desired. It's just like not a team that's there yet. I wish they had a better backup running back for Saquon. You know,
yeah.
I wish they had somebody to like ease a bit of the pressure, not Deion Lewis,
right?
Who's been on, you know, how many? This guy's not a number two anymore.
No, not
he
anymore.
Just isn't. And then the Redskins, or sorry, the Washington football team. How many times an over under am I going to botch that this season? Right? I mean, their right side of the offensive line I very much enjoy. I think that the thing with the Washington football team, aside from the fact, the issue with them, outside of the fact that they, how pathetic is it that they couldn't come up with a team name in time for the season, is that the saddest thing of all time?
I mean, I think we've talked about it. We've talked about it already. They're trying to lean into the international appeal that football clubs, and by football I mean soccer as we know it in America, what they call their teams, right? And it's not just in the EPL or in Serie A, it's also in the MLS. So that's what they're going for, but in...
This is not that sport. I was like trying to give them the benefit of the doubt when I was feeling nice a couple months ago, and now I'm not feeling that way anymore. And I think that it's sad as the day is long that they couldn't come up with a team name. Happy for
okay,
Alex
but the team
Smith that he's found his back way back.
The team name has no effect on how they perform, whether it's
yes.
good or bad. They, though, as a roster, have a lot missing. A lot missing. I love
but
Terry
there are
McLaurin.
Places where they're good. There are
yeah,
places
I mean Terry McLaurin
have,
is
like,
awesome.
Exactly. So the Giants don't have that. Scary Terry's a true number one. Giants don't have that. That defensive line with Darren Payne, Chase Young, Jonathan Allen, and Kerrigan, and Montez Sweat as like the fifth guy in the rotation, that like defensive line is up there in the top 10 in the NFL. It really is going to be. But the linebackers, weak, old, weak. The defensive backfield is like half of it's good, half of it's not. The offensive line, half of it's good, half of it stinks. They don't have a tight end. They don't have a real running back, to be honest. Like, Antonio Gibson is like... He's an army knife. He's a Swiss army knife. He's not like a running back.
If Adrian Peterson gives you the stamp of approval and says that he can do everything that they want him to do, then I'm at least confident in the guy. He's got to go out there and do it, but they feel like he can be a three-down back.
Yeah, I'm surprised they cut AP. I don't know. I guess they let him go for greener pastures and he chose Detroit of all places. But I think this Washington football team is going to be picking in the top five again. I think
so. What do you think? How many wins will they end up with?
Two, three.
That's it?
I mean, who are they going to beat?
You don't think they can put something together offensively, a couple of games where they just shock some people, or Rivera dials it up defensively?
Their home games are against Baltimore, the Rams, y'all, Seattle. Maybe they get the home win against Carolina, the home win against Cincinnati. Like, I don't.
Well, Rivera's got to. He's got to win against Carolina.
Get a revenge game. Other than that, maybe they get that win on the Giants at home. So that's three wins right there. I don't see them beating the Eagles still, as much shit as I'm giving them. I still think the Eagles will beat them both times.
Okay. I don't think many people would disagree with how you broke things down with the Cowboys at the one spot, Eagles at two, Giants at three, Redskins at four. I think that I'm with you. I think if the Giants surprise, then they have the possibility of maybe being neck and neck with the Eagles. But I also think that there's potential where they could be almost as bad as the Redskins. And like, I mean that like only winning four or five games. I think that could happen with them.
The football team, unfortunately.
Sorry.
Has...
Yeah. The Washington football team.
No, dude, you're good. It's just going to happen a bunch of times this season. You just got to roll with it. The football team has to play at Arizona and at Cleveland. The Giants have both those teams at home. I think those are teams that the Giants can steal wins at against at home, especially because they're later in the season. I think the Giants could kind of get rolling with Garrett, kind of get rolling with Judge, and they'll be better later on in the season. So I think having those two teams at home is better.
I think those are two teams that are very that have the potential to be very competitive, that are in terribly difficult divisions, playing in very, very difficult divisions. And I think that if they're going to New York, they look at that game as a game on their schedule where they have to beat up on the Giants. Because I think that both of those teams have more talent across the roster than this Giants team does.
Oh, easily. Both those teams, they are better. But I think there's games that the Giants can potentially
can win. Better than that. Yeah.
I don't know, but I think the Giants are in trouble too. I think it's going to be a long year for them.
For sure. Still. Okay, so let's go to a more tenured group of NFL players. Let's go to the NFC South, where your boy resides now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What are we thinking here?
This is the three-headed monster. Carolina is not going to be good,
right?
But that we know. I think right. And Carolina. I think Carolina. Whereas the Giants and the Washington football team. Jesus, I can't believe you to say that. Are going to be bad. I think this Carolina team can be somewhat competitive in games. Like Bridgewater is a good quarterback. He's not great. He's not going to light you up, but he's a good quarterback. But their weaponry is obviously McCaffrey might be the best offensive non-quarterback player in the game, right? DJ Moore is a legit number one. Robbie Anderson, I think, is very overrated, but he's still decent and a good deep threat. Curtis Samuel has not been utilized the proper way yet, but maybe Joe Brady unlocks that. They don't have a tight end. Their offensive line is very weak. They have Greg Little backing up Okung, but he's a rookie, and Okung's on and off hurt. I think next year, I've seen mock drafts of them going after Justin Fields, which would be a bit surprised. Even though I love Fields, I'd be a bit surprised, especially after getting Bridgewater's still not old.
No.
And I think if they can be in a position to get Penei Sewell, I think he is a premier offensive lineman. Or our guy, Cosme. Well, Texas mm-hmm. tackle, Sam Cosme. I think that'd be a better direction for the Panthers. But to show you where they're at, I'm already looking to the future. I think Brian Burns was a great pick for them last year, uber athletic defensive end. They just like Donta Jackson's going to be a great cornerback. I thought the Jeremy Chinn pick was nice. It's just outside of that, their defense has a lot of holes. And this is a team that's Derek Brown's going to be great, but it's just in the NFL, it's not good enough anymore to have four or five guys on either side of the football that are good. You need to have like eight guys that are good, and then two of those eight guys have to be premier stars if you want to be really competitive.
Right. But I think they know that.
I think they're self-aware.
They're aware. They're aware what the rest of the division is doing as well, right? And the rest of the division, specifically the Buccaneers, have been piling on as much premier talent as possible to try and compete now. And they're, you know, they and the Saints are in win now mode. The Saints seemingly have planned for the future a little bit better. Are they at the top of the division?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Saints, and then I'm gonna go. This is tough.
The Falcons were very bad last year. Everyone knows that. But
the Falcons were bad last year. They're grossly disappointing. I don't think this Gurley addition is going to put them over the edge, but I think it'll help. I think the Buccaneers, they had the same record last year. I think the Buccaneers are going to be better.
I agree.
You're their quarterback turned it over twice a game. He practically handed the ball off to the other team sometimes. You bring in, at the very worst, Brady is going to be fine. He's not going to be bad.
Right.
He's got no injuries. He's not going to just forget how to throw the ball. I think they have the best receiver duo in the game, or maybe second best behind Cleveland, depending on the week. The running backs are now deep with Ronald Jones, right, and Sean McCoy, Fournette. They drafted Keyshawn Vaughn, who's an underrated pick.
They lost Dari Ogunbowale, but you know they keep Keyshawn Vaughn. So I think that was the guy they want to replace with. Yeah, exactly.
They have three legit tight ends. I mean, their offensive line is okay. you know, Tristan Wirfs is young. Obviously, he's a rookie. Donovan Smith also a bit young. But their front seven on the defensive side of the ball, again, talk about a unit that could be the best. This could be the best front seven in football. Pierre-Paul White, Lavonte David, Shaq Barrett, with in behind Sue, Vay, and Gosselin is, as long as everyone stays healthy, it's amazing.
Right.
And this thing about how much better this front seven is and how much less gas this front seven is going to be.
Right. Well, I mean, what did teams average rushing yards last year? Was like 60 rushing, like 60 they're rushing yards a game or something like that.
Ndamukong Suh is a first-rate asshole. We all know that, but does not mean he's not an excellent Hall of Fame type player. Is he an absolute dickwad at some points? Yes, and I don't even feel bad saying that. Because he does some really not cool things on the football field. That all being said, he is an elite defensive player.
Yeah.
In a problem.
So what's the distinction in records between the Saints? Did the Saints win what, 11 games?
We're talking about a Tampa Bay team who a lot of what ifs. Like, as good as I think Brady's going to be, it's
right. There's no fluidity between the roster last year and this year.
Look, they play each other. They play each other first in New Orleans. I don't think New Orleans is going to lose that game. New Orleans goes to Las Vegas. That's a win. They have Green Bay at home. That's a win. They go to Detroit. That's a win. In all of this, in my book, I think the first loss for the Saints may be at Tampa in November 8th. At that point, they've won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games in a row. I think they'll take it against the Niners at home. I think this Saints team might go for like 11 to 12 wins.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean,
where are the holes? Where are the flaws? They bring in Emmanuel Sanders.
Right.
Jared Cook was good for them last year. Their offensive line's excellent. Kamara.
You still have Murray. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still a nice 1-2 punch. You still
Cam
have the
Jordan and Davenport.
You still have Taysom Hill, and you can use him however you please. There's a lot of weaponry on this team. The Emmanuel Sanders signing is great. I've always been a big fan of him. He's awesome. He's awesome.
He just does his job. He gets to work. He doesn't complain. He'll tear an ACL. He's the opposite of the line judge. That Novak
is the opposite of. He's the opposite of Mike Williams, really.
Yes. Well, he'll get hurt and he won't complain about it. He'll show up.
Not that Mike Williams complains. He just gets hurt all the time. Emmanuel Sanders does get hurt.
Tough as nails.
But he plays every single game. He's like the opposite of Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper plays when he's injured and he's terrible. He should just rest when he's injured and not be on the field. Okay, so if they're the one spot, Bucks are at the two. So the Falcons are at the three, but you think it's almost like tier one, tier two in this division where...
I do. I have faith in Atlanta. I still think Julio's the best receiver. I think Calvin Ridley is going to take that jump.
So all three of these teams you think seemingly could make the playoffs?
With seven teams making the playoffs, I think it's possible. I think, unfortunately for the Falcons, the NFC is brutally tough.
Right. Because we haven't gotten to the other two divisions, which are equally as tough as the NFC South.
They have to play the Seahawks. They have to go to Dallas. They have to go to Green Bay. It's like they have to go to Minnesota. It's like the NFL set them up for failure.
Yep, those are really, really tough out of conference games. Division games.
Yeah, you have to go to play. You have to play what I think the Seahawks being the third best team, maybe in the NFL. You have to play the best team in the NFC East in at their stadium. Then you have to play the best two teams in the NFC North at their stadiums. Obviously, you get New Orleans twice. You get Tampa Bay twice. And they're playing at Kansas City. What kind of bullshit schedule is this?
It's a terrible draw. Okay, that's the NFC South. I mean, is there anything else you want to talk about their roster? Obviously, they've got Julio. They've got Calvin Ridley.
We could give him some love.
Hurst, I think he'll do well just like Cooper did last year. I think part of that is... I mean, Hooper's talented, but I think that it's just when you have Matt Ryan under center who throws for 4,000 yards every single year, he just gets different guys involved. And I don't expect that to not happen with Hurst.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, because Matt Ryan, Hall of Fame player. Julio Jones, one of the four best receivers I've ever seen. Todd Gurley is going to be a contributor. He may not be elite anymore, but he'll contribute. I am hoping. Look, Lindstrom and McGarry were spotty or hurt last year. They both were hurt. The rookies last year, they're manning the right side. I'm hoping they take the step up and are healthy and play well. I think they signed Dante Fowler Jr. He's solid. He's not unreal, but he's a good player. Grady Jarrett's quite underrated. He's similar to Fletcher Cox. Not as good, but very underrated in my book. And I think their defensive, their cornerback room is young, but exciting to me. I like Kendall Sheffield. I like Isaiah Oliver, and I'm hoping AJ Terrell is good. I think those guys
played well in camp.
They could be a good trio. What are you thinking about the NFC North?
To me, the NFC North is probably the most competitive division in football, I think.
Really?
I think part of it is because the rivalries between these teams are off the charts, so competitive, and they always are. They always have been. I think that the Packers win the division again. I don't see much. I guess my one reservation about it being the most competitive is that, like the South, I think that there is a clear cut worst team in the division, and I don't think it's the Lions. I think that it's the Bears. I think that I'm.
But I wouldn't be surprised, though.
If the Lions were the...
But yeah, to your point, I think any of these teams can beat each other.
Yeah, but I do think that the Packers... I do think that the Packers are the clear-cut best team in this division.
Really?
Yeah.
Even, like, with Ngakoue going... They have Danielle Hunter, Yannick Ngakoue. This Vikings defense is good.
They are
Anthony
good.
Anthony Barr, Kendricks.
They are Harrison good. Smith. They're good. I'm very. This isn't just for. They're good. I just don't think that. I really don't think that Dalvin Cook is going to stay healthy for the entire year. And because of that, the entire offense suffers and they are worse off because of it. And I don't think Kirk Cousins can put the team on his back and take them to, you know, the number one seed in the NFC North. But I think that Aaron Rodgers can do that, whether they have Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, or A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, I'm devil's advocate. I'm not going to bet against Aaron Rodgers ever in that division.
And LaFleur, who manages, he's a great coach. He showed last year that he
got the run game going excellently.
Yeah.
You know, and that defense is good. Not as good as the Vikings defense, I'd say, but I still think it's solid. I think the Lions are a very exciting team, and they could be the surprise in the division. I think the Bears, I'm with you. I think the Bears are going to come in last there.
Yeah.
I just think I don't understand why they're rolling out Trubisky. Like, have we not learned already that he's not a starting quarterback?
So you want to see them start Foles from the jump and just
100%.
Yeah, and cut their losses with Trubisky. But I mean, they're never going to do that because where they drafted him. And I know it wasn't Nagy's guy, but what do you think? You think Nagy, he could be on the hot seat this year?
100%. He's living and dying by Trubisky now, which is stupid. He's got Nick Foles in the fold. Why do you have Nick Foles then? Just in case? No, it didn't work with Trubisky last year. You owe it to yourself to try it with Nick Foles.
And you don't have an offensive workhorse like the Chicago Bears 5 years ago when they had Matt Forte. David Montgomery was not good last year. He was very unproductive. Tariq Cohen can't be a three down back. So you're limited with your
good weapons.
They do.
They have Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, and Ted Ginn Jr. And Cordarrelle Patterson can do some damage. And I think they draft Cole Kmet, who could be solid. Jimmy Graham could be decent. We always say so. I'm going to ride that out at least.
Yeah.
I think Foles at least can do some work with these weapons. Trubisky is not a good enough passer to get it done with these guys. And I don't care how good your defense is. I don't care if you have Khalil Mack. Scoring 15 to 18 points a game is going to get you nowhere in this division. The Packers are going to run it down your throats. The Vikings are going to mix and mash with play action, with pass, with run. And then you can't get into a shootout with the Lions.
Right.
They may go 0-6 in their division. They're going to be picking in the top 10 if they're starting Trubisky. That I'm very certain about.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. We'll see the starting quarterback swap at some point where Foles just has to be played because Trubisky isn't getting it done. But I think, you know, this always kind of happens, right? It's like Trubisky's on the hot seat. We're ready to put him at the backup or move him somewhere else. And then he goes and like goes 4-2 through the first six games or something like that. And is like absolutely absurd. I mean, he's had those crazy games before where he's thrown for six touchdowns, but they're just outliers in the grand scheme of things. And it's not something you can be trusted, especially with the consistency of the other teams in the NFC North. You mentioned the Lions, but I think what they have on the offensive side of the ball is really going to be fantastic. They made a tweak last year where they were allowing Matt Stafford to throw the deep ball a lot more than they had in years past. And I think it was like something like 30-35% of his passes were 20 plus yards down the field, which is just, you know, it's just playing into the weapons that they have on the outside. Galladay, Marvin Jones, I think Hawkinson.
He didn't play eight games either, too. He played the full season.
Yeah.
He was on pace for 38 touchdowns.
Which is crazy.
He was cruising last year.
And that was with a rookie Hawkinson. I think we both think he's going to take a step forward, and their backfield is the best backfield that Stafford's seen in his career.
That's not even saying much, but yeah, I think it is too.
Yeah, I can't believe Theo Riddick's not there anymore. Okay, so the NFC North one last time. So we both are, I think, in agreement here. Packers, then the Vikes, then Lions, then Bears?
Yeah, I think the Packers and Vikings are in the same tier. And then the Lions are in their own tier, then the Bears are.
So a three-tier NFC North. Okay,
from being mean to the Bears.
Let's move it to the NFC West, our last division in the NFC. This is a really fun one. Really excited for this division. I think my biggest question mark is the Rams. We've seen them in the HBO series Inside the Lines. No, just kidding. It's not Inside the Lines. It's Hard Knocks. But what do you think about the Rams? I mean, they're the biggest question mark to me. You think the Seahawks are the best team in this division, though, don't you?
I do.
Interesting.
Bosa is hurt. Already's got some injury issues. Dee Ford's got some injury issues already. Problems. That's a problem.
Yeah.
You got Deebo Samuel and Ayuk kind of limping into the year, and they're young receivers, and you're putting a lot of stock in them, right? I like Jimmy G as a quarterback, but unlike Aaron Rodgers, I'm not confident in him yet where I can bet the house on him winning the division. Russell Wilson is a guy I can get behind. I think this Seahawks team, I would pick them as my NFC winner ahead of the Saints and ahead of the Cowboys.
Okay.
And the Niners, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned.
I think whoever wins this division is going to win the NFC. I think the running game with Chris Carson is strong. I think the receiving group with Josh Gordon coming into the fold, not having to do a lot as the fourth receiver, they bring in Phil Dorsett.
Also a guy, you know, Josh Gordon, a guy that knows the offense too, right?
Mm-hmm.
He came on at the end of last year. He's already been worked into the system. And then you have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, who we shared on a fantasy roster last year. We both like a lot. DK, either one of those guys would be a great wide receiver one for many teams to have.
Many teams. A lot of teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Their defensive backfield, especially with adding Jamal Adams, I mean, they add a premier defensive back player, a guy who had 7 sacks as safety last year.
It's crazy. He's a guy. He's just an impact player. He makes plays on the ball. He's electric, as you like to say.
They look for like a more versatile player. He's a better player than Clown. He's more versatile. And that's where they went when they made the move of Jamal Adams instead of going and re-signing Clowney, who they got for dirt cheap anyway.
Right.
Bobby Wagner's still there. He's the best middle linebacker in football. And I think the defensive line, I think Puna Ford and Jaren Reed are not unbelievable. They're good stalwarts in the middle. I'm happy with the Seahawks defense. Obviously, at full health, it's not better than the Niners, but the Niners are not at full health anymore.
Right. And so because of that reason, you have them at the second spot in the NFC West, definitely getting a wild card spot. And yeah, I mean, I still think that I do think that Jimmy G, they put a little more responsibility on him this year. And I think he rises to that occasion. And just from a number standpoint, he'll do more this year. He'll have to. Mostert will be their starting guy, which good on you, Raheem, because you're a beast.
He better be good for us, dude.
Yeah.
What do you think of?
But I look, they still have Tevin Coleman. They still have Jerick McKinnon, who is finally back and healthy. Hopefully he can have some, you know, I don't know. I just wish the best for him because he's had some rough times with injuries. George Kittle is there. I do think when he is healthy, Deebo as a number one wide receiver will get the job done. I think he's very
strong enough. Okay.
Yeah, I think
I can get behind that. I agree. He was great. He was great down the stretch last year.
Yeah, yeah. And he's great. He's really versatile. I like the way they use him. A lot of times kind of looks a little bit like Percy Harvin. They use him in jet sweeps, stuff like that, and you can extend plays. So, I mean, he's not quite as fast as Percy Harvin, but who is?
I think this kid IX is going to be nice.
Yeah, but again, both of them are limping into the season, which is not great. And then, okay, so that three spot, is it still the Rams? Have the Cardinals edged them out? What do we think here?
This Cardinals team, like this Rams team, the Rams have, I don't know who has more question marks. Like outside, and I think it's the Rams, because outside of Ramsey and Aaron Donald, the defense is pretty weak. Not a lot I'm excited about in the defense.
Right.
Decent, not great. The offensive line was great 3 years ago, not good anymore.
No, it was not good last year. Goff did not have enough time.
Cup and Woods are good. Josh Reynolds is solid. I think Higbee's decent. Everett's good. Like Goff and Akers, I think, is going to be a beast. Goff has weapons. I think Goff's a good quarterback. I just think his offensive line's weak. His defense, again, like he has two superstars, but outside of that, the defense isn't anything special. I think the Cardinals are legit. I think the Cardinals are honestly, like, Nick's really high on the Broncos. I'm like, this is my Broncos of the NFC. I think this Cardinals team is going to be a problem. They're going to be an issue for some. First of all, I think Kyler Murray, I don't think he makes the Lamar Jackson jump. I think that's a bit ridiculous and a bit too lofty of a goal. But I think he's a good enough quarterback.
But that's not where his trajectory is going anyway, right? He fits more of the Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson type,
yeah.
which I don't I think is a lofty goal, but I still think it's doable. I think he gets probably the third best receiver in football in my eyes. He's got Christian Kirk, who's decent. He's got Andy Isabel. Larry Fitzgerald's not gone anywhere. I think I would love to see him have gone a tight end outside of Max Williams, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers. I think they sat nice and pretty in the draft and took Isaiah Simmons, who their best player was available. Buda Baker is completely underrated, one of the best free safeties in the game. Patrick Peterson's still there. Chandler Jones had a million sacks for the upteenth time last year. I think this defense is pretty good. Defense is pretty solid.
You have an elite pass rusher. You have what I think one of the best defensive backs in the NFL. I can't believe
two of. I think Buda Baker is right there with him.
I agree. And I think that, you know, you've got just limitless weapons for Kyler Murray to use, and you've got Kenyon Drake, who's a great pass catching back. He can run well between the tackles, and you have Chase Edmonds behind him, another great pass catching back. I just think that where Goff, his Achilles heel is his mobility, and that forces him into making throws that end up being errant, and that results in the high interception rate last year. Kyler Murray can get around the issues of not having a fantastic offensive line because he's amazing speed and quickness. And that's just
their offensive line is like pretty decent. I think the issue for me is with the Rams last year is they couldn't get the play action going because Gurley wasn't a threat.
Right.
And that's where Goff thrived.
Right. And now now you have Cam Akers, a rookie.
Yeah.
Henderson Jr., right? Who
couldn't be any worse than he was last year.
Right. He was such a disappointment last year. And their best running back is Malcolm Brown, who is a journeyman running back who shouldn't be your goal. I mean, look, he's a Longhorn, so I love him, but he's not incredibly talented. But the fact that he is so consistent that he has to be on the field over these guys who have, quote unquote, much better talent than him is an issue. And you need some consistency because that was what made your passing game so effective. Jared Goff, so effective in the play action pass, just as Ryan Tannehill is in Tennessee, just as Kirk Cousins is in Minnesota. It is because the running back demands so much attention, so many guys in the box, that it opens up the receivers on the outside. Now, I think Cooper Kupp has kind of superseded what we expected him to be as far as what he can do.
He's legit, number one.
And he can do pretty much anything. He can stretch the field. He can cut across the middle. He's a great possession receiver. He's a great deep threat. Good speed, good quickness, great route runner, amazing hands. And I think Robert Woods has almost all of those skills across the, you know, the same side of the field. So I think that they still have those weapons. It's just, can Goff get enough time to get the ball to those guys?
Yeah.
And you don't think so?
You're going with you. I think the Rams come in last in that division, but I think they're competitive.
I think it's close.
Again, I think they're better than the Bears.
I think it's a two-tier. It's a two-tier.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think it's a toss-up between the Cardinals and the Rams, but I think the Seahawks are going to be – I think they're going back to the Super Bowl, and I think they beat the Saints. What do you think in that regard?
So you think in the NFC Championship, it is the Seahawks beating the Saints?
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough to bet against Russell Wilson. I think we might see – I think we might see a repeat from last year. I think it might be Packers 49ers all over again.
I think the Seahawks are going to win the whole thing.
They're going to win the Super Bowl?
I know I said the Chiefs were last time, and I know I said he's going to go back-to-back, but I've thought about it more, and I've done my work and research, and I've looked into the Seahawks.
They're ready.
I think they're ready again, and I think Russell Wilson is playing – almost as good as Patrick Mahomes is, and if not better at times. I think they have the weaponry. I think their only issue is like the run game was hurt last year. They have injuries all the time. If they're healthy, they're,
yeah, it was hurt, but when it wasn't hurt, it was really good last year. Carson was awesome. Yeah.
It was frightening. So I think this Seahawks team is really going to get it done. And I think Pete Carroll, could be the last hope to stymie Patrick Mahomes and dial something up to give him some trouble.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys were in the NFC Championship game at all.
I wouldn't be surprised either. They're my number three team. I think they're going to be better than the Packers. I think the Cowboys are the number three team in the NFC.
I think if they get hot towards the end of the season instead of at the beginning of the season like they did last year, then they could take it all the way. I mean,
it might get to a point where CeeDee Lamb's the number one receiver on that team.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if you had two guys over 1,000 yards.
Yeah, maybe three, honestly, which would be crazy.
That would be crazy. That would be really crazy. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think that Gallup is in for a heck of a year just because those other guys are just they demand so much attention. And I think
for the boys.
Yeah, they're a fun team to root for. They're electric on offense, so I'm excited to watch them. All right, so I think we've got our picks there. Unfortunately, no Nick in the show today, but he will be back for our next one.
I think Nick is Team Saints.
Yeah, he's always been a big Alvin Kamara fan. You think he would lean Saints, though, to win the NFC?
I think he's Saints-Niners.
Saints-Niners?
If I have to guess.
Okay. We can ask him when we get on the mic with him next show. Other than that, super excited to be coming to you guys on a Tuesday instead of a Monday. What a mix up. What a
change up. Feeling dangerous. 270 shows in.
272. Looking forward to 273. It's going to be a good one.
Back of the fold. I'm excited to get back into the studio, though. I will admit that.
Yeah, we miss you. We miss you here.
Aw, it's emotional.
All right. To all the fans out there, drag both feet in bounds. Swing on a full count. Hit that putt. Hit that puck. Sink that putt. Hit your free throws, Josh. Why?
Because they're free.
Yeah, they're free. We out you. We love you.
We love you. All right, dope.
I'm fucking tired.
You're going to kick that to me?
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. I'm like passing out.
All right, yeah. Let me pause this and kick it to you right now. There's a portion. Let me go back and look at it. There's a part where like you get a little choppy. We could probably just keep it honestly. Your connection cut out a little bit, but it was like literally 2 seconds.
And then, that's fine.
Okay.
Is there that part where you?
Huh?
Was there a part you had to cut out or no? Where I have to cut anything or no?
You'll just have to cut the gap and drop in the fancy sauces and spices of the intro song.
Okay.
All right.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left. clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game! Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Bases loaded. Two out.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.